Church, my name is Jason. I'm honored and privileged to be the senior pastor. We're delayed. You're here with us. I know the snow was hard, but I'm glad you made it. This is crazy, isn't it? Who's lived here for over 20 years? Anybody lived here? Have you ever experienced this much cold here? Just curious.
I remember when the roads were
frozen. I guess so. I remember the bridges being frozen. Kids were like taking trays and sliding down the bridges. And nobody died. It was good. it was a natural selection test. Anyway, welcome. We're delighted you're here. You braved the cold. I'm grateful for you guys to be here in this warm place. And we call this place a grace place, a place with no judgment, and a place that we can just be as we are, but yet we know that God's love is here and God's going to move in us in his grace and grow us. And so we welcome you. We believe you're a gift from God, and he has something here for you. We'd love to be able to recognize your presence with us, too, so there's a connection card. And if it looks like such it is, we'd love to be able to connect with you. If you could be so gracious to fill it out, we'd love to be able to recognize your presence with us, too. Those online, please hit the Facebook feed. Let us know you're listening, or on YouTube, or either one of those. We'd love to know that you're connecting with us also. We are in a series, and if you have caught the first one, I encourage you, if you missed it, to go back. But we are going through the book of Hosea. I'm sure it's the number one on the reading list of everybody's. But it is a very, very interesting book. And it has a very unique story that really needs to be told. It's why it's there for us, where we can really grow and understand God's love, his covenant love. And what does that mean for us, and of who we are and how we live with others? And so we're going to lean into that more today. So with that, I invite you to rise. Let's join together in worship. And we do start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you are this covenant love, that your love is not like the world. It is different than ours. It's above ours. And God, we pray and we ask that in this time of worship, that as you come to us with this love, that it would really permeate us and shape our souls, that it would really meet deep in where we are, that it would be more than just something that we understand, know, but that we actually take in and become who we be. People shaped by your love, who love you and love others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
Bring all your failures.
Bring all your failures. Bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonder of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, praise Him for the wonders of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world. Oh, my soul, who could ever know how deep my sins go? Oh, my soul, all the gold on the earth could never pay for the debt that I have made. Oh, my soul, now I see just how great my need in His hands and in His feet. Lamb of God, oh, my soul shall sing hallelujah to the God who. Oh, what love knew I never had enough, so He chose to pay in blood. Oh, what love. I'm in awe, every earthly gain is lost at the wonder of the cross. Oh, what love. Now I see just how great my need in His hands and in His feet. The Lamb of God, oh, my soul shall sing hallelujah to the God who the sea from His head, His hands, His feet. Sorrow and love flow down for me. Forever all my praise will be. Glory to the God who bleeds. Sea from His head, His hands, His feet. Sorrow and love flow down for me. Forever all my praise will be. Glory to the God who bleeds. Now I see just how great my need in His hands and in His feet. Lamb of God, oh, my soul shall sing hallelujah to the God who bleeds. Hallelujah to the God who bleeds. Hallelujah to the God who.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, in your presence, and to have the opportunity to hear your word. So we ask, Father, that you speak to us, enrich us, lift our hearts. And Father, if there are burdens that have been carried in here today, we pray that you will lift them off as we are reminded of your unconditional and covenant love. Speak to us, and we will hear, and give us the strength to obey in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever, I'm going to guess the answer to be yes, but have you ever reached a point in some circumstance or happening that you just said, enough is enough? Have you ever reached a point that's like a tipping point or the straw that breaks the camel's back, as we say? You reach a place where you just don't think you can take any more. I believe that's where Hosea comes to. And yet God would not let Hosea quit. If you heard last week's message, you realize that God is using Hosea and his marriage to Gomer as an example of God's relationship with Israel and how Israel's unfaithfulness is hurting the Lord. I don't think when we wander off from God that we ever think about the pain that causes him. We don't think about that. We only think about his forgiveness. We think about his patience. We get the picture that his arms are open wide always. But there is pain for him. And so we're going to look at this in Hosea, first chapter 1, then we're going to skip to chapter 3. And we're going to look again at this marriage circumstance that Hosea finds himself in. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lechech of barley. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You will not play the whore for or belong to any another man. So will I also be to you. For the children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they shall come in fear to the Lord and to his goodness in the latter days. So we see that God gives a shocking command. Shocking in that he's telling him on purpose, marry a prostitute. Take to yourself a wife who is by nature unfaithful. So you take this wife, God's, so we're hearing God tell him to do this on purpose, which demonstrates that his love enters the mess. Now that is good news for you and I, because his love is not afraid of our mess. Oftentimes, in our Christian walk, the Lord may give us an opportunity to help somebody, may give us, put someone in our path that needs our counsel, needs our time, could even sometimes need our financial assistance. There are people that are hurting all around us, and sometimes we hesitate to help because we think it's going to be a mess. We don't want to get that involved. This is going to take a lot of time. This is going to take some resources. This is going to take some energy. I'm going to have to skip bowling one night. We hesitate because we don't want to get in other people's mess. But God's love is so deep, so unconditional. God's love is so open to us that he actually comes to our mess. He comes to our circumstance and bathes us with his love. You see, Israel is unfaithful. And God has chosen Hosea and his marriage to Gomer as an example of how he feels toward Israel. The fact that they are Gomer in Hosea's life. They are the unfaithful ones. And yet his love comes right into the middle of that mess, because God does not abandon his covenant simply because his people are unfaithful. He doesn't abandon his covenant. Now, this, for me, is a hallelujah moment. This is a hand raised glory to God that he doesn't quit. He doesn't abandon the covenant that he has for me. His love continues even when we're unfaithful. If God quit on us every time we forsook him, what would that look like? We would probably never really know if God was with us, because we've walked away from him again. And yet we have the promise. We can rely upon the fact that he never abandons our covenant. He always has love. And he's using Hosea to demonstrate this to Israel. He's asked Hosea to live through a very difficult time in order to show his love for Israel. Realize Gomer can't stay home. Gomer takes her love, she takes her intimacy, and she puts it other places. Not just once, not just twice, but this is Gomer's lifestyle. This is what she does. Hebrew tells us that if we habitually sin, we are trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. Does that picture some pain? Can we realize that when we live as Gomer lives, and I don't mean in our human relationships, I mean in our godly relationship, when we walk away from Him, when we are unfaithful to Him, when we, quote, cheat on Him, when we take our affections, our attention elsewhere, His love continues. Now, we all have our version of enough, don't we? In a crowd this size and across our four venues this morning, I believe there are plenty of us who have reached a point of enough. And I can't carry on. And God never does. Never. I want you to get that picture in your mind. He never, ever has enough. Now, we need to learn point A under number two. We often confuse God's patience with God's approval. I like to say, when I think about our relationship with the Lord and our propensity to sin, I often think that we think God has a very casual attitude toward our sin. In fact, I think we sometimes think that God winks at our sin. We would like to believe that, kind of like Papa does when one of the grandkids are up to a little mischief, and you can kind of give them that wink like, I see what you're doing. I've got a grandson who can't stay out of the candy, and he knows where it is in any house he's in. And his mother, time after time after time, says, no more candy, which is like sick him to a dog. He goes straight to the candy, and he comes out gleefully with this big chunk of candy in his cheek and looks at me like, yeah, Papa, got another piece. So we had a talk about what it means to honor your father and your mother. Didn't do a bit of good, but Papa gave it a shot, trying to plant a seed at least. We sometimes think that our sin is like that. That I know you said don't, but I know it's okay that I do. After all, I'm only human. After all, you made me this way. We've got all these excuses that we just pass off, thinking that God is like Papa and He's just winking at us like it's okay. But beloved, I got to tell you this morning, as seriously as I can possibly tell you, God's patience is not approval. He is not winking at our unfaithfulness. He's not winking at Israel turning their back on Him. He's not winking at Gomer cheating on Hosea. He doesn't wink at our choice of sin and say it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. Look at Psalm 103:8. It's our memory verse, in fact. Let's say it together. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Now, there is nothing but good news in that verse. Merciful, gracious, abounding in steadfast love. And it's even good news that he's slow to anger. But slow doesn't mean not. God has an attitude towards sin. He can't look at it. He can't accept it. He can't let it come into his presence. And it prompted his heart to the point that he put his son on the cross to pay for the sin, to pay the price that we could not pay. There was no way that we could do enough to cover our sin, to deliver us from sin, without God's shed blood. And he reminds us in Galatians, do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. I've been in the ministry a long, long time, and I've known many, many people who sow those wild oats, and then they pray for crop failure. But it doesn't work that way. You sow them, you'll reap them. And so you can't fake God out. You can't use a misdirection play on God. You can't get his attention like many magicians do, of getting our attention over here while they do something over here. It doesn't work that way. God's eyes never leave us. And so we can't make a mockery out of our relationship with him. We can't con God. We have to recognize that he has a serious attitude about sin. But he also used Hosea to demonstrate that he has a faithful pursuit. He never stops seeking us. He never stops pursuing us. He never stops trying to demonstrate his love, trying to wrap his love around us. He never stops pursuing this relationship that he longs to have with us. Now again, hallelujah moment. He never stops. It doesn't matter how far we drift. I love to watch moms and their kids. I love to watch their interaction, their behavior. I particularly like to watch my kids be parents. They do it all wrong. They can't get it right. But I see out in the public, moms and little, like, you ever notice the little three-year-olds or about that who are walking with mom and they don't want to hold a hand? And so mom gives them that little freedom. And what does the little one always do? Drags feet and lets mom go ahead. Because little Miss Pretty Pants has some independence she wants to show. Now, the interesting thing is when you watch those little ones, they don't let mom get too far away. They've got like, I'm independent, and they've got this buffer zone. And what does mom have to do? Eventually, she will stop, turn around, and wait. Come on, honey. Come on. Walk with mom. And she starts. Mom takes off. We drag feet. Because we want to walk behind mom, not with mom. We're independent. That picture is how we do the Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit indwells us, so we have God's voice within us. We get direction. We understand where we're to go. In fact, Galatians says that we're to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. So when God says, let's go, we often want to drag our feet and let God go without us. Now, we don't want God to get too far away, but we want to exercise our independence. And that's when there are occasions in our life when God stops and he waits. He waits for us to come back to him because he's always in pursuit of us. He's always trying to make sure that we walk in step with him. You see, letter A says love refuses to quit. God never quits. Now, as I was studying this message, this is a point where I got up mixed emotions. I was looking at that and I was thinking about how Hosea had to go look for Gomer. How God told him, go again. Go again. And Hosea had to go into the community searching for Gomer. And he found her in a line of slaves about to be sold. This is a wife that he loves. And he's going to have to buy her again. Now, part of me wanted to cry, which isn't very easy to make me do. But part of me wanted to say, no, that's enough. No. And you see, in our life, we may have those moments in our relationships, in our circumstances, where God says, go again, and we don't quite have the strength to go again, but we need to be reminded, and this is where the tears begin to flow. We need to be reminded that love refuses to quit. Doesn't quit. Love never gives up. You can't get bad enough for God to stop loving you. She had dropped her self-esteem, her self-worth. She had dropped in her lifestyle so low that she was standing in line to be sold. And Hosea had to face the embarrassment, the hurt, the pain as he looked at his wife and bought her back. Now put this to the gospel and think of God, our Creator, who sees us stuck in slavery to sin, sees us being captivated by our old nature, and he looks at his creation, who he made to be like him, who he designed for loving him. He looks at that creation and he realizes, I'm going to have to buy them again. And Jesus comes to be like us, to walk among us, only to die for us. The Bible says we've been bought with a price. We've been bought. And I think of how love refuses to quit. And that when I sin, God's response is to always remind me, I love you. I love you. See, when I go to dragging my feet, I get too far behind God. When I have that recurring sin, God looks at me, waits for me, probably thinking to himself, oh, Stevie, you're such an idiot. Just come on. Come on. And he gives me an opportunity to catch up, because love never quits. But we need to recognize that covenant love is not based on our worthiness, but on God's promise. It's not because I am so stinking lovable. It's because God's promise. I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. God loves. Not based on us, but based on him. Deuteronomy says, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. It's his promise. But love comes at a cost. Love comes at a cost. Hosea had to go and pay for Gomer's freedom. He had to pay to be able to bring her home where she belonged with him. And he told her, now this is where you're going to stay. And we're not chasing other men anymore. And I am going to stay with you. We are going to have a covenant. We are going to live together, faithfully together. You see, God paid the cost on the cross. As Jesus died, as he looked to heaven and he said, it is finished. It was finished, all right, because now the cost was paid. Now we had a chance to have sin overcome in our life. And so because our sin's been overcome, because of the cost that Christ paid, we modern day believers are the church. We have been covered in Christ's blood. And we are the bride of Christ. This story comes full circle because the church is the bride of Christ. Christ gave his life for us. Look at Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Where is bride? And he will come and claim us again. He will do just like Hosea. He has paid the cost for our freedom so that he can then take us home where we belong. And we can live forever. But now, two things to remember. One, faithful love still has consequences. We know that as parents who love the kiddos, we love them, and when they do wrong, there's a discipline involved. There's a teaching moment. There's an opportunity to shape a young life. And see, we need to remember that grace does not erase discipline. Grace is not a license to just do as I wish. Grace is not if I can just keep on sinning. Because God looks the other way. No, God doesn't look the other way. Grace is that we don't receive everything we deserve. See, there's a price for sin. The Bible says sin is death. There's a price for that. But that was paid for by Jesus. So what do I receive? I receive discipline. God begins to use circumstances to mold my life, to shape my life, to make me more like him. So you may find yourself in a tough place and you're not real sure what's happening. Let me tell you, it could be God's discipline in your life. It could be that his promise of I will not abandon you, but you will feel the weight of your choices. You see, we can be forgiven. We can have grace extended, but it doesn't always mean there isn't a weight to be carried. In my early ministry, I did an awful lot of prison revivals. And I can't tell you how many guys in prison would claim to have come to Christ, claim salvation, and then thought they were going to be paroled. And how many conversations I had to have with, no, you're still going to pay the consequences. You're going to carry the weight of what you did. But now God's going to carry it with you. Now you can have an inner peace to walk through your outer turmoil. Life may still be hard, but God's with you. You see, there are times when we will go through a discipline and we will feel the weight of our choices. We had a young couple in my last church that they were high schoolers, and they were had dated a long time, and she became pregnant. And her mom came to me and asked that we keep that private. And I told her that that was not the way to handle it. She needs to know God's forgiveness. She needs to know the church forgives. And I'm not speaking of just her and him. So I talked to the couple, and they came forward one Sunday morning, church service just like this. And I said, they stand before you because they have an announcement to make. A baby's going to join this young couple. And she has chosen to carry this baby to full birth. And they are going to remain a couple. And we're going to help them, church. We're going to walk with them. We had prayer. And you see, there are lots of ways to discipline. There are lots of ways to shape and mold lives. And from that day, Daddy got serious about his faith with the Lord. And I'm glad to say, 2 years later, we had a wedding, the two of them. Their little two-year-old daughter brought the rings. They have two other children since, and God reigns in that household. I don't believe that would have happened if we tried to just ignore it. Love means sometimes we do the hard things. God did the hard thing. He sent his son. Because the other thing we need to remember is that love leads to restoration. The goal is always to return. God was using Hosea and Gomer to say to Israel, and he says it to us believers today, I always love you. I am always pursuing you, and the goal is always to restore you. Not to crumble you, not to crush you, not to hold you responsible for the rest of your life, but to restore you so you can return to me. He says it this way. in 1 Peter 5. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Beloved, I'm telling you, there is nothing but good news awaiting. Your restoration with our Father. We don't know how the home life of Hosea and Gomer changed. I think that as we work our way through this study, we may discover some things. But I can tell you how the restoration goes between us and our Father. It is nothing but glory. It is nothing but an eternal, unconditional love that he extends to us. It's yours today. Yours today. He wants to open your heart to Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this picture of Hosea's life. Oh, it's uncomfortable. Takes our brain places we don't want to go. Challenges us about the sin in our own life. Makes us wonder if we're in step with you. But Lord, we know it's because of your steadfast love. It's your unconditional love. It's because of your grace and your mercy that you bring us the hard lesson so that we might become like you. Restore us today. Draw us to you today. And we give you the praise and the glory for constantly pursuing us in love. And it's in your name that we pray. Let us pray as we've been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Yeah, what a reminder. And God's love's not for sissies, is it? I mean, it's hard. And maybe that love really brings you to a place of, man, for healing for every journey you're in. And that really is calling you to return to him. Or maybe that love is calling you to someone. The person you said, enough. And so, Lord, so as we continue our worship, we just want to just like take a time of gratitude. And one of the ways we do that is in our worship and lifting up our songs and praise, but in our offerings of saying, God, thank you for that kind of love, that pursuit of love, that covenant love you give to us. And so in your worship folder is an offering envelope. You can also use the text to give or go online and do that too. Also, bring your attention to the connection card to many different events that are coming on the backside, and you can also share as you're celebrating today. And if you'd like to experience that love more in the discipleship training or those daily devotions, let us know. You can just hit those boxes. But there's still an opportunity to join a life group that's going on this study. Again, you can get, there's groups that are meeting to take this study and then go another level together and share and discuss and share life together. And that's really what the church does, right? As God is disciplining us, He puts us in safe places of a loving context where we get to experience that love with one another. And then we get to really, by sharing life and with the Word, we help discipline each other. We help to share with the, help bring that out of one walk with each other and guide. We have the trivia night for dummies. That's a nice way. I think it's a nice way. That's trying to say that it's going to be something there for everybody, okay? It's not going to be like this trivia that only certain people know who read the encyclopedia when they were young. It is for everyone, and it'll be a lot of fun. There's lots of prizes. There's going to be the crepes and then also the pizza. They got a pizza company coming. And for those who cannot have dough, who need to have, thank you, gluten-free. There's that word. It's there. We got gluten-free crust on the pizza, so that'll be available. They want to have childcare so families can enjoy it. So if you want to come and you have children, you want them to want us to provide you childcare, we would gladly do it. But we need to know today, please, so we can secure that and they can be part of it. You see other ways you can be part of it and help out. Be great for that. You have the family event coming up for the young families that will be on a Sunday coming up in a couple weeks. And then also mark your calendar and be part of Ash Wednesday. I'm really looking forward to that, going into that season. And so with that, we'll continue our worship as we do. You're welcome to bring your offering and your connection cards up to this plate, either plate on your side.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender.